again to the Postmodern Cowboys. This is a special episode. Once again, Julian is with us in lieu of Michelle. And we are parked right now. We are in a car and we're parked at midnight in a Nobel Laureate's parking spot on the campus.
The ultimate Berkeley last, you know, thing to do.
I'm not admitting to anything.
Matt's not really here for legal reasons. Yeah.
So we are here to send Julian off right. And we figured for this episode, we had four topics we wanted to talk about, but we thought, why don't we just try to split them up 5 minutes each and then try to make as many jokes as possible. So what we've got on the queue is Back to the Future, future cars / oil politics. Or no, future cars, then oil politics, and then Korean politics. Which is something that Julian is particularly versed in because he took a class on Korean politics. So we got
I saw the interview, so like it's...
You learned as much as I did.
Exactly.
So we got a timer. Okay, can we start it at 5 minutes? And
yes.
Okay. So Back to the Future. Matt, what's your greatest memory of Back to the Future?
Lightning round.
In the past?
Lightning round.
In the past. Well, or in the future.
Or in the future.
Well, right now it's 2015, so what a year.
What a year.
Yeah. Today, this year is the year.
The year that they traveled to.
This is the year that they traveled to.
So be disappointed.
I know.
We're not
disappointed.
Where we thought we would be.
We just saw Jaws 7 earlier today.
people did get a little stupider, so they did get that right. We do not have hoverboards yet. We do not.
I heard that someone was working on that.
Yeah, someone was working on it. Yes.
Or like those self-tying Nikes. Mm-hmm. Like the...
Or the Pepsis with the cool design.
Hadn't happened.
Okay. All right. So we saw this incredible movie, but we said we got the shoes down. That's what we're gonna take away.
We got the idea of the shoes.
We're working on the shoes, and it's 2015. Come on, people. Come on.
Did anyone feel uncomfortable feeling attracted to Marty's mom as a teenager?
Why? She was a teenager.
Well, I wasn't related to her, so I didn't feel uncomfortable.
I remember like seeing that scene where Marty is holding onto the truck and skateboarding behind it, and this was around the time my sister and I had Heelys. And so whenever we'd leave my dad's apartment parking spot, he'd drive slow and we'd hold on to the back of the Prius.
Well, you had a great childhood, Brian. Stop bragging about it. Jeez.
Jeez,
man.
So that's what I got going on for me.
Earth Angel changed my life.
Earth Angel,
will you be mine?
In college, we used
that's
to have
That's how this you joke. True love existed
have,
as a kid.
We used to have this joke because in French, potatoes are called pommes de terre, right? Which means... Which,
oh, that's hilarious.
Which actually means which earth apple, right? So my roommate and I, we made the song. Earth apple. So Earth apple, your potato in French. And someone, it was just, and we're just riffing.
That was a marvelous anecdote.
I just wanted to work that in there.
I enjoyed that.
Work that in there. No other place could I like stick that in there, you know, other than what we talk about. Earth Angel.
You saw the opportunity.
There was an opportunity. Yes.
I always wanted to see flying cars, and that didn't happen.
We're not there yet.
We're not there yet. That's probably my biggest disappointed.
Yeah, we're cheated. We were cheated. That's what happened.
I was promised flying cars.
Yes. We were all promised.
And all we have are...
Well, all we have is our Prii.
We have Prii.
Prii. That is like the biggest bait and switch of all time. Mm-hmm. Like, they promised us these amazing jet-powered cars, and we get... A Japanese cockroach. That's what we get.
Both of my parents own Priuses.
Come on, Nobel laureates.
For listeners that are not aware, both of Brian's parents own Priuses.
Prii. Yeah, there was a contest, and that one won. Although no one really won.
We all lost.
We all lost that contest. How do you know someone owns a Prius? They'll tell you.
I'm still waiting for us to have a car powered by nuclear material,
right?
Like the DeLorean in Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Or just junk, like the DeLorean.
Hey, I love the DeLorean. That was like my favorite car. I was like, one day I'm going to grow up and get a DeLorean.
One thing that really confused me when he was fueling it with trash was how he got like an empty can from the trash can and he poured the liquid into the car and then he put the can in.
Yeah.
But the part that didn't confuse you was the whole it was fueled by trash part.
No, I mean, but it doesn't make sense. It should just be... The same amount of energy if you put the whole can in there.
I think
Why'd you have to pour it?
It's for effect, I think.
It's detail.
It's for effect, yeah.
Which exactly. I like.
Yeah. The funny thing is that that my cousin didn't know that DeLoreans were actual cars, right? So when he saw one, like, in real life in L.A., like, he was like, is this, like, a movie set or something? Are they going Back to the Future 6? Like, no, no, that's a real car that existed in the 80s. And he just couldn't, like, believe it. He was like, I just thought they made that up for the movies. Like, no.
There's a picture online of, like, a bunch of different DeLoreans parked around a blue police box, like, in Doctor Who. And it's like a time traveler's meeting.
Oh, it's funny for the people that think they're nerds, but they're not.
Oh, shade. Oh, my God.
Shots fired.
And on that note, we'll transition from Back to the Future to flying cars.
Ah, flying cars.
I don't know why that note in particular.
So here's the thing with flying cars, is that if you look at Star Wars, they got a lot of flying cars in Star Wars. Then... See, I wanted flying cars when I saw Back to the Future. Then I saw the prequels to Star Wars, and I'm like, I don't think I want anything from the future.
So Luke's little flying thing, like, that's before Back to the Future, right? Is it?
This is true. That's actually
What's it called? The speeder.
That is a fact.
The
speeder?
The speeder, right?
Sand speeder?
The sand speeder, that's what it's called.
Yeah,
Yeah.
That did happen a long, long time ago, so...
In the galaxy far,
so
far
away. So those aren't actually future cars.
It actually happened in Africa. Not in the galaxy far, far away. Happened in sub-Saharan Africa.
Just a long, long time ago.
Yes.
But I don't want cars flying over me, because if someone crashes, I gotta watch out for falling cars.
Like in episode 2.
Like in episode 2.
Where you have, like, these layers and layers of cars that are driving over each other. And then you have Anakin Skywalker jumping out of his car.
That's true. Okay. Well, let's try not to apply logic to the prequels.
Brian likes the prequels more.
He does?
Yeah.
Wait, he likes them more? No. Brian, I'm not a fan of liking them more.
Do you like them more?
I don't know where that came from, but I...
Do you like them more?
No, I don't think
so. Answer the question!
No!
Okay.
You're only saying that now, Brian.
Don't worry. I'll protect you, Brian. I'm on your side. I think the prequels are not that bad compared to...
Themselves.
I think if you were to take the originals and then re-release them at the same time the prequels were shot, and then, like, if their roles were reversed, people would be looking at the originals and be like, man, this is a load of codswallop.
No, I don't think so. But no, I don't know.
Except for episode 5.
Whoa, there's a lot of people coming. Anyways, episode 5 is the
gem. Cinematic, but I feel like they'd be like, wait, you blew up the whole Death Star with one shot?
They do that again.
In the last movie they do it for the second time.
I know.
And then they get beat up by the Ewoks, and they're like, teddy bears. Anyway.
Ewoks are weird.
My point is that nostalgia is a powerful drug.
But in Return of the Jedi, their bikes. Their bikes are flying bikes, right?
In Return of the Jedi.
You mean the speed?
There's Moon of Endor. There's swoop bikes.
Yeah, and the Endor. And the Endor.
Yep,
Scout Troopers. Right.
I played a lot of Battlefront, so I'm an expert in Star Wars. But not Expanded Universe, just regular Star Wars.
Those are all technologies that I wish we had.
Why don't we? That's the
capitalism.
Capitalism? Is that
you
why?
Think?
No,
it's science fiction. We haven't got it there yet.
There'd be a market for it. I just think.
We haven't got it there yet.
I actually think it's the old companies. I really do.
The Trade Federation. Federation's been blocking this.
Because that's what's important, right? Trade embargoes. That's what we need to focus 3 movies on. The intricacies of interspace.
Galactic trade.
Yes. Oh my God!
The Gungan.
Is that what it's all about?
It really is.
Yeah, it is.
That's what the first three.
Mustafar.
Ah, jeez.
The Neo-Moidians are like.
I'm serious.
Oh. The Jedi want to break up our monopoly. Yeah.
Dooku said he would protect us from the Jedi.
Dooku said he would. Send in the droid decas.
And don't even get me started on metachlorians, okay? Don't.
We don't need to bring that up, okay. Anthony.
I have friends that don't like Star Wars at all, or like they've never seen Star Wars and don't like it. Well, I have one person in particular, but you know, shout out. Whoa, who's Hannah? But no. You know,
shout
like,
out to
horrible.
Those who don't know.
Anyways, but flying cars. Back to flying cars.
Right.
So when's the Tesla going to fly? Like that's...
Well, I mean, Tesla is working on electric cars, and they're also working on reusable rockets, right?
Right.
So, I mean, flying cars is just the dialect of the two products.
Oh, wow. I can't believe I never saw that combination coming. You're right. They're going to shoot... Elon Musk is going to shoot Tesla's into space.
Musk.
and they're just gonna... Elon Musk.
I still think that's a few years off.
What can I say about Elon Musk that hasn't already been said by Elon Musk?
I can't wait till we get around just by Hyperloop like an Astro Boy. That,
yes.
How are we gonna
cars, why do we need flying cars? We could just get like a little suction tube and get shot at lightning speed towards where we need to go.
But what fuel would these cars...
Yeah, how are we going to fuel these cars?
Would it still be, and I say this to lead into our next
topic... Well, don't ask us.
Oil?
Ask the people whose parking spots we're in right now, okay?
The Nobel laureate.
Ask those people.
Oh, wait, that's my alarm. My bad.
The alarm. Okay, oil politics.
Oh, don't even get me started on oil politics.
We want you to get you started.
Oh, I'm actually channeling Michelle.
Oh. Matt, you're a geology major. Can you talk about oil?
Where does it come from, and who is responsible for this?
It comes from ground.
Comes from the ground.
It's you know, fossils.
Who does it belong to, Matt?
Belongs to the earth.
It belongs to the earth.
There's a bunch of
it belongs to all of us.
There's a bunch of people named humans that claimed it.
Ah. Why?
But
because we got it. We got to it.
Because we live around it. It is nature. And what is it? Humans? Nature belongs to us.
So what is oil? What is that?
Yeah, oil is a liquid that is very... valuable commodity.
But what is it?
Dude, it's just...
No, like, what is it?
I know, it's just like fossilized shale.
There we go, fossilized shale.
All right,
and it takes hundreds of millions of years to become for what we use it for.
Right.
And then we actually even passed people say in the 70s.
It's dead dinosaurs, is that true?
Yeah.
Duh. Okay, well, you didn't say that.
I said fossil stuff.
You said fossilized shale. Like,
so we defined oil, but have we defined politics?
So
politics. Coming, I don't know, it's Latin, I think. Many and then, you know, ticks as in blood-sucking creatures. That's a Robin Williams quote for you guys.
Oh, yeah, I love that quote. Being a political science major, my friends, I wholly endorse this commentary.
Yeah.
Man, you got Russia... They got the oil.
So I think it's a matter of luck, right? It's just a matter of luck. Like, your country happens to be over this large reserve of oil, right?
And
that's what geology's for.
Are you familiar with the classic show Beverly Hillbillies?
I am not, no.
It is a story in which just a family of hillbillies moved to Beverly Hills.
And hillbillies is a technical term.
Yes.
Okay. And
they're
so,
all named Billy, and they live in the
so
North.
So you got like Jethro, and then the grandma, and then the dad. And they get there because while the dad was hunting, he accidentally shot the ground, and oil just started bubbling out.
This has nothing to do with oil politics.
Well,
Wait for it.
So there's oil.
There's oil in the ground.
And then it somehow. And
they take it out.
We could talk about...
No, I think they... Well, maybe they sold the land.
No, they took... Yeah, sometimes they sell the land and the oil rights.
And then they... Yeah.
Canada has a lot of oil, which is
why you hear about politics. Why...
You hear about the Northern Tar Sands, and that was the whole Keystone XL pipeline thing.
That is so boring.
Anwar, where all
they got oil
are.
For years.
That is boring.
See, the thing is that... All the things that happen bad in the world are great for countries like Russia. Like, global warming is, like, bad for the rest of us, but it means that they have more of Siberia they can occupy.
Oh.
And, like, oil prices high for us means it's great for them. So Russia's, like, just pure evil.
No. Yeah.
If you're Russian and you're listening to this podcast.
We don't have a lot of people. We have Canadians, right?
We have a Canadian subgroup of people that listen to this podcast solely for Matt.
We're going to go back to the Keystone XL pipeline.
Oh, yeah.
The oil's going to get here somehow, way.
You're a geologist with pro XL pipeline.
I mean, like, it's obvious. Like, otherwise, we're going to have to... Take it here by train.
By train?
And that's more inefficient, and it's going to cost more. It's going to be more intensive to the
environment. I forgot what John Stewart told me to believe about this.
I want to know.
You know, the funny thing about the Keystone pipeline is that we already have tons of other pipelines. But then...
We draw the line.
But then we draw the line.
business with Canada.
Yeah.
That's too far. The American people won't buy it.
But yeah, oil and politics is scary.
To unconsensual pipelines.
Talking about oil and politics.
Big in oil, you're going to be big in politics because of all the money.
Do you remember the, when the thing burst in the Gulf of Mexico and how it was like...
Oh, yeah, man.
I felt the dread, like, every single day that Obama didn't fix it. Like, it ruined a summer, really.
Thanks, Obama.
It ruined a summer. Like, it wasn't even his fault or anything, but, like, he looked bad, and I don't like that. I don't appreciate oil for that.
Thank God he physically put a plug
in. He did. He became Aquaman for a bit, and he went down there. And the funny
use duct tape, right?
Yeah, the funny thing. The funny thing about that like whole episode was that like we had all these brilliant scientists, many geologists probably, all trying to plug in this hole, and the solutions they were coming up with were like, we're just gonna like throw plastic at it, and maybe that will. I swear to God, at one point, a legitimate like we're gonna throw like golf ball like things at it, like that was actually a thing.
There was that to be had.
Yeah,
and there were like two robots that had the sole responsibility of plugging this hole.
It was just like it was depressing.
England, BP, British Petroleum.
They needed a true leader. Gets.
Yeah. Politics is so like ridiculous, right?
Kim Jong-un. And that's our transition to Korean politics.
Korean politics.
Seamless. I can't even...
Can we call them politics when it's just one guy deciding everything?
Whoa. Before you talk about my glorious leader,
glorious
I need to know where you people stand.
What?
South Korea or best Korea? Matt, are you South Korea or best Korea?
I am for the better Korea.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Anthony.
I don't understand the question, but you have best in there, so I feel compelled to say best Korea.
Okay, I'm obviously with best Korea.
Yes.
And
if Korean barbecue comes from best Korea.
Okay.
Which it does not.
Which it doesn't. But we'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there.
Lead us through the labyrinth that is Korean politics.
Oh, do I have a tangled
Is it our fault? Is it our fault?
Does it have to be about us?
You know what? You know what? Yes, it does.
Our is in, as in us four?
Us four. Actually.
Probably.
I'm asking for us four.
We're probably responsible for the entire geopolitical problem that is the demilitarized zone.
So they're at war, right?
Yeah, the war technically isn't over. Little known fact. The war between North Korea and South Korea
is just like a technicality,
going.
like they just forgot, like they like lost the treaty? Or they lost the plan.
Camille, it's your responsibility. One job.
Yeah, one job. it's like the ring bearer, but like for the pen of the treaty, and like it got lost, and there's a dog involved, and then they ate the dog. That was racist. I apologize. I did it immediately, so I'm okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, there's a 5 second rule.
Exactly. With racism. There's a 5 second rule. And is it just a
Anthony 2020?
They're running for office.
I know. Yeah. Don't tell him what I said to the one.
It's not like this is going
to... Don't worry, I've already cataloged it for my negative campaign.
I see. I can see it now. Anthony once, and then it goes all like black and white.
from his podcast.
No, but is it like a technicality or like they're like actually a legit war?
It's legitimately still at war. Like they just decided, hey... We stopped fighting. You guys want to sign a peace treaty? Like, do you? And they're like, no. And they're like, no. And they're like, okay, we won't sign
That's it.
Rather than sign a peace treaty, let's just set up this really big ditch between us and then litter it with landmines, and then that'll be peace. and hence, the 38th parallel was born. I think it's the
38th. Yeah,
I can't remember. So my Korean politics teacher, Professor, the Honorable Professor Hong Young Lee, or as he likes to call himself, Hong Young Lee.
Ah. Well, that's racist.
Yeah, that was racist. That I'm was sorry, racist. I corrected myself.
Five second
rule.
5 second parameter.
The racist per minute is above one.
Anyway, Hong Young Lee said that there are three things you need to know about Korean politics. It's dirty, it's dangerous, and it's dirty.
So just like Chinatown politics in San Francisco.
Wait, why?
Huh?
Because he
because
forgot
there's
what
a
the
lot of sauces
third
involved.
D was. He just repeated himself.
What was his qualifications to teach the class?
He's Korean. That was pretty much actually. That was the qualifications for his GSI. His GSI didn't know anything about politics. He's a sociology
major.
But he was
Korean.
But he was Korean.
That was it.
That was it. That was legitimately it.
And that's the kind of quality education you get at
here at
lovely
university.
Like University of
California Berkeley.
Yeah, there's no place like it because it's legal.
No police like it.
Whoa, that's out of context.
Too topical.
Too topical.
We're talking about Korea, you know, not here where everything's perfect. Okay.
So is there one great Korean politic anecdote that we can end this episode on?
Oh, I just want to say that I bravely saw the interview the day it came out. So,
did you?
What a martyr.
Yeah. No, so I just
what a saint.
No. I just want to go on record and say that I did it for my country.
America. You participated in capitalism?
Oh, I did. Good I job. Did. And I wasn't afraid. I wasn't.
Maybe a little.
I mean, maybe. I had my cousin pay, just in case, but it happened, and I was there, so.
I'm proud of you, Anthony, but very sorry for you.
Why? I never got to know why I was dirty, dangerous, and dirty.
You know,
what did you learn in that class?
Very, very little. Oh, here we go. Oh, sorry. The 3Ds were dangerous, dirty, and dangerous.
Ah.
Excuse me. So,
rookie mistake.
Yeah.
He gave us several anecdotes. He gave us several quotes throughout the course of this class that we needed to know and learn to understand Korean politics. The first I mentioned already. The second was, you can have your cake and eat your cake. Not sure what that means.
This was a class? I haven't learned anything about Korean.
You can have your cake and eat your
cake? And eat your cake, yes. Keep it simple and stupid.
This is a class that is anti-superlatives.
That is so great.
Keep it simple and then
there were some quotes he said that were borderline racist, but we're not sure. He said Chinese are like sand.
Okay, good.
I don't quite know what that
means. There's a lot of them. What?
That's what I'm guessing. Yeah. But see, the crux of this one is that...
Hold the mic! Hot mic.
Why are we leaving?
Because the police is going to come around.
Oh.
Yeah, so
the thing is that this quote actually makes you more racist because you're trying to figure out why it's racist.
Right.
So you have to do the inventing.
Right.
And then he also said you can learn a lot about a country by the sports they play.
Ah.
So, like, he said that Americans...
That is a very, like, provocatively racist statement.
Yeah, he said Americans... When they approach a problem, they just like to butt their head into it, like American football.
Huh.
Mm.
And he said that the Chinese like to kind of dance around and like do their little Tai Chi.
Oh, that is
and
bad.
So, this is out of his mouth, not mine. I already apologize for my comments. Yeah, but he's like, yeah, so the Chinese... Oh, sorry, I nearly forgot my favorite Korean story. So the Japanese don't like the North Koreans.
The Japanese don't like anyone.
So they started this rumor that the North Koreans were stealing Japanese children off of their beaches.
Ah,
kind of like Baba Yaga.
Very good.
And so the president of Japan went to the president of North Korea, at this time Kim Jong-il, and asks him, they're having negotiations, but he goes, but what about the children you've been stealing from our beaches? and Kim Jong-il says... Okay, we'll give the children back, but only if you agree to these demands. And then we're like, what? You've actually been stealing Japanese children from their beaches? That is why North Korea is the best Korea, because they live up to the fairy tale myth that they are.
So they're like the Nicolas Cage of country.
I wish I could just get more of this class. Great.
And I feel like that's a great way to end this lovely podcast. Yes. That North Korea is the best Korea.
Couple kissing.
Because they are the Nick Cage of countries.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So thank you for joining us this week. We are driving down the streets of Berkeley just past a kissing couple, at which Matt responded to by saying, oh, look, a kissing couple, in case you missed that.
Now we'll bring any of my personal issues.
And that's democracy for you.
That's democracy.
This is a free country of kissing.
Exactly.
Stay salty.
I wouldn't know.
Stay salty, man.
Stay salty. So thanks again for joining us, and have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Julian.
Bye.
Forever. Sorry.